Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Report. It is, of course, the 23rd day of January, 2015. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets. That with Mike Zuzla, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He is in Atchison, Kansas. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the APAS and the Farm Bill Toolbox. That's the way producers can find all kinds of details about the farm program and how to sign up through the Farm Doc Daily website. Of course, Ben Pruce should be here, too. He is with the Andersons facility out of Everly, Iowa, as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. March contract in the corn pit at 386 and three quarters was up 3 cents for the day. The May at 395 and a quarter, 3 1/4 higher. July, a 402 and three quarter settlement price, 3 1/2 cents higher. In September at 409 and a quarter, up 4. December corn at 417 and a quarter, up 4 cents on the afternoon. From the soy complex, bean futures finished the nearby at 972 and three quarters. That was down 4 cents. May at 979 and a half, 3 1/2 lower. In July at 985 and a quarter, down 3 1/2. November beans at 959 and three quarters. They finished down 1 1/4 for the day. Wheat futures in the soft red down 3 3/4, $5.30. July at 536 and a half, down 4 1/4 on the afternoon. Soybean meal up 140 at 331.50, and the bean oil for the day finished at 31.60, and that settlement price was down 37 cents. The hard red Kansas City wheat, by the way, at $5.64, up 0.75 cents in the March. July at 572 1/4, up 0.75 cents too. Live cattle futures from Chicago at 150.35 were down the $3 limit in the February. April down the limit. June down the limit too. We'll take a look at the lean hogs for the day, and they finished up at 69.30, down 2.30. The April at 70.72 1/2, down 2.15. And feeder cattle in Chicago were off $2.35 at $213.62 1/2. March at 201.82 1/2, down $4.50. That is the expanded limit. More on that when we get to Mike Zuzlow in a couple of minutes.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast now as it finished up in the Urbana area. Mostly cloudy for the day, a high of 37 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a 28-degree low. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 41. Saturday night, a chance of rain, some snow. After midnight, mostly cloudy with a low of 34 degrees. West winds at about 9 miles an hour. They'll turn to the south-southwest after midnight. Chance of precipitation set at 30%. Sunday, a chance of rain, some snow before noon. Then a chance of rain, cloudy, and a high of 42 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy and 27. Mostly cloudy on Monday and 34, Tuesday sunny and 37, Wednesday sunny skies and 43. And by the time we get to Thursday, mostly cloudy skies and 46 degrees. As we take a look at the outside markets, we see now that crude oil is currently trading at $45.55 a barrel. That's down 76 cents for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.64.5 is just about unchanged. Gasoline on the wholesale price. And the RBOB at $1.34.06 is a penny and a half higher on the afternoon. And natural gas is down up 13.5 cents at $2.97. Ethanol futures are currently trading the lead option February at $1.43. That's a settlement price. It was up 0.37 cents for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,650, down 87 points. The gold futures at $1,291 or $9.50 lower, and the dollar index at 95.04 is up 0.668. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Of course, it is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's turn our attention now to the marketplace. Mike Zuzlo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, is on the phone line for this Friday, the 23rd day of January. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time. I think we ought to start in the livestock. What happened there for the day?
Well, I think you got a heavily influenced market by the currencies, Todd, especially the cattle. And I suspect, or I think it's mainly hitting the cattle arbitrarily, because the box beef prices have remained very, very strong. The difference between bids and offers in live cattle have remained very, very wide. We sold cattle earlier this week at the 165 level, and it was fair volume. What I think is happening is, as the dollar continues to go down, the deflationary mindset in the funds is continuing to ramp up in livestock, led by the cattle charge, because they're mostly the biggest length by funds is in cattle right now. And so when the packers, and this is something I talked with a client who had just talked to his packer earlier this afternoon, when the cattle start this kind of a descent to the downside, I think packers got the idea that they would pull their hog bids, waiting to see if maybe the cattle wouldn't cheapen up enough that they could go back and bring in more beef and feature that in the upcoming weeks. And so it's kind of a spiral effect led by the currencies hitting the cattle and then the cattle also hitting the hogs. One person called me today and said, well, is it this port worker strike out on the West Coast? Because that's been getting some news with Kentucky Fried Chicken pulling their French fries in Japan across the country. And I checked the pork export sales this morning. They were 23,900 metric tons, very strong, given our, you know, last 3 or 4 months worth of pork exports. And South Korea was the number two buyer, so I don't think that's as big a deal as maybe some are making it.
The dollar, in fact, as you mentioned, has rallied pretty sharply this week. I think you said down, but what you really meant was that it was pushing down the ability of people outside of the U.S. to purchase because of the strength of the dollar. And it is up pretty sharply this week. Can you tell me more about what that means to the commodity market, why it had such a big impact on the cattle?
Well, we had such a round of quantitative easing by a slew of central banks this week and last, and you know, the European Central Bank being the biggest one of the week, but we had the Denmark's National Bank come out, and even China threw more liquidity into their financial markets. And so we're essentially up 7 straight months in the U.S. dollar index, about 21% since May. That matches the 21% gain made 6 months in a row back in the 2008-2009 time period. And you'd have to go back to, if you take out 2000 and 2001, we're at the highest level in the dollar index since 1999 and early 2000. And I think this is where the trade, because of all this monetary policy easing, is back in a deflationary bias. And certainly the economic data is pointing to that as well. And I say that because the Chinese factory growth numbers, the market PMI numbers, what it's called, with the factory growth is showing a second straight month of contractions. Factory layoffs have occurred now 15 straight months based upon this report, and this equates to weak domestic demand becoming even more entrenched, and then you start talking about deflation in China, and you start talking about bad debts in China. So this all goes back to the currencies and the central banks, and I think this is where, in oversimplifying it, the trade has gotten into the mindset again of buying gold as a safe haven, buying the dollar as a safe haven, buying the equities because of what the central banks are doing, and sell off the commodities outright, essentially.
Are you viewing this, as many have discussed, in agriculture, that it would be a normalization of agriculture, but that the period it might most be like would be the early 2000s? You mentioned that. That's when we had a very strong dollar. Now we're at 95. It was at 120 at that point or thereabouts. And does that tell you anything about your marketing and what kinds of things producers should consider in this year and the next, and maybe the following one?
I don't think you can go much farther than about a year out right now. I don't want to at this point, Todd, because I think this market is being compressed so much. I've never found 7 straight months up in the dollar index going all the way back to the early 1980s. And, you know, like we talked about way back at the Will Ag Assets Conference, that this is a lot like the late 1990s and that Goldilocks economy for the United States, but that eventually got ruined by Russia and by the Asian financial crisis. And that's the biggest fear on my plate right now, and that's why I'm wanting to keep paper hedges in place for clients. But by the same token, I think it has to be said at this point, you've got the European Central Bank out. You have the Greek election Sunday, which could spell even more trouble for the euro currency. So you don't want to say the dollar is topping here fundamentally. I think technically you could start talking that way. But if you get past that, what you're looking at is a Bloomberg Commodity Index. It's now taken out its 2009 lows, and it's trading at levels not seen since 2002, and that goes back to the original point of your question. A lot of the negativity, I think, is baked into the cake at this point. It's just we have to wait for the turn, and that could be similar to what we faced in 2010 or even back in 1999, where it's more like May, June before we really get a strong, well-supported bottom in these prices.
Is this to say, well, strong and well-supported bottom, but are you of a mind that where we are is the stabilized price range?
I think that. In fact, if you go back to the 2010 corn and bean charts, the first week of February, we made a low. It didn't hold, but we did make a low and had a kind of a stand there. And if you look at the 2014 July wheat chart, we made a stand and a low at the end of January. This all resonates with me because of what the currencies have been doing. And how many more central banks are there out there to give this kind of wallop to the currency markets? And you know, one thing that I really worry about is that I get more of a sense that the central banks are flying blind, that they're kind of walking and feeling their way through a dark room right now, and their last resort essentially is to throw more money at it. And that can spell trouble if their policies don't work or the consumers lose confidence. And again, that's why you stay hedged into mid-year.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
My pleasure, sir.
That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
The comment period on a proposed CFTC rule aimed at curbing excessive speculation on the prices of raw materials and agricultural products ended yesterday. The proposed rule has drawn criticism from industry groups which contend the restrictions could hinder their ability to protect themselves against risks ranging from variation in product quality to market volatility. A spokesperson for the Commodity Futures Trading Commission says the comments will be reviewed by staff, but said there is no time frame for a vote by the commissioners. Members of the 8 organizations comprising the Beef Checkoff Enhancement Working Group have been sent a proposal in the latest effort to reach industry agreement on ways to increase beef checkoff revenues. Cattle producers under the plan would get to vote on whether to increase the beef checkoff before it would go into effect. That under the latest proposal to double the $1 per head fee to $2. The plan would require going to Congress to change the 1985 Beef Promotion and Research Act in order. If Congress adopts the legislation, then a national referendum by beef producers would vote on whether to increase the fee. Biofuels manufacturers in Iowa, the top U.S. ethanol-producing state, are seeking to promote the country's renewable fuel standard to presidential candidates ahead of the state's caucuses. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad says a coalition of industry groups in Iowa will pump millions of dollars into targeting candidates during the 2016 Iowa presidential caucuses and presidential election, a move that underscores the biofuels industry's struggle with heightened scrutiny over the RFS program created in 2005. The campaign's funders include the Iowa Corn Growers Association, Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, and Growth Energy. McDonald's today posted a worse-than-expected 21% drop in earnings in its December quarter. The company has been losing customers to fast casual chains and to such rivals as Five Guys Holdings LLC and Chick-fil-A Incorporated that focus on just a few menu items. Overall, McDonald's reported a profit of $1.1 billion, or $1.13 a share, down from $1.4 billion, or $1.40 a share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and he also happens to put together and does a great job of doing it our all-day Ag Outlook each and every year. This year's event is the 10th day of March. You can buy your tickets right now for just $25 at 217-333-7300. Let me repeat that because you can call now, 217-333-7300. To get your tickets for the all-day Ag Outlook. We usually sell out of these tickets, so the earlier you get them, the more likely you'll be able to be there when all of our analysts, all of our brokers will be up on stage. We'll take up the commodity markets. We'll have special guests, too, including Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa, and Murray Wise of Murray Wise Associates. It should be a great day on Tuesday, March the 10th. Tickets are just $25. You can purchase them right now at 217-333-7300. Other items before that, coming up next week, I will be in LaSalle, Illinois, along with a panel of analysts to take up the marketplace, and we'll discuss the farm bill. That at the Seneca Golf Course starts at 6:30 in the evening. This is open to everybody, so if you want to come, that's great. It's at the golf course there in LaSalle, Seneca, the Oak Ridge Golf Course. We'd love to have you that night for a farm bill discussion and a discussion of the marketplace. And then the next day, I'll be in Sycamore, near DeKalb, at the Center for Agriculture. That's the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, this one is open. At both of those, I'll have Jackie Vakes along with me and Wayne Nelson. We'll also have Joe Vaklovic at Sycamore, and Dan Bossi will be there, too. In fact, Dan Bossi is our guest this week on Commodity Week. You can hear that program after this one right here on our home radio station tomorrow morning on many of these other radio stations or at willag.org, which is the same place you'll find all the details about the All-Day Ag Outlook, about next week's Ag Panels, and of course that you can listen to all of our agricultural programming. Now up next, speaking of agricultural programming, the United States Department of Agriculture is in the midst of implementing a brand new farm bill, and farmers, landowners, will need to be making some decisions. The FarmDoc team right here on the campus of the University of Illinois have updated their Farm Bill Toolbox website. And I talked to Jonathan Kappas, policy specialist, about the updates and what it means and how farmers can use it to make decisions related to Arkin PLC.
So we are, we're relaunching the Farm Bill Toolbox, which we've designed throughout this to be kind of this one-stop resource where you can get, you know, pretty much the entire scope of things for sorting out the farm bill program decisions, everything from the calculators to the fast tools to articles, background information, webinars, and so forth. And so, you know, we've had it up for a few months and gone through a lot of meetings, a lot of work, have gotten quite a bit of really good feedback and some suggestions. And so we've tried to work all that in to make it a little more user-friendly and help with its use and sort of updated the materials. Things like frequently asked questions are up there now, and the fast tools, and just being able to link to everything quicker and move through the site better.
So it's just about ease of use for the end user for the most part. Will it look very much different to them when they come back in if they've been there before?
No, it'll still have a lot of the same familiar look and feel. It's better organized and more user friendly. From a content perspective, we've better organized some of the articles. There are new articles that have come up through FarmDoc Daily. Probably one of the biggest content issues is the frequently asked questions. So through the webinars and meetings and phone calls, we've been able to boil down quite a bit of the questions we've got and provide answers. And that'll be, I think, helpful. as you go through the 7-step decision process that we've got laid out there on the website. And that continues too. The 7 steps will continue and or we'll continue to use that process to guide landowners and farmers through the decision process.
Do you recall what number 1 and number 2 are on the FAQ, on the Frequently Asked Questions series?
I do not, actually. They're organized by steps. So you'll the overview step, I think, takes you through all of them. And then, you know, step 1 collect information and letter. And I think the first one, I think, had something to do with the FSA letter or what happens if I lost it or something like that, I think. So,
which is an important question. What does happen if you lost it? Because that due date is February.
So the first deadline is February 27th, and that's for the base acre reallocation and payment yield update. If you have lost that letter, go into FSA and ask them for another one. They should be able to get you a reprint of that letter. So, you know, some basic things like that, but certainly these items come up frequently.
And that's a landowner decision. So the landowner is the one who really has to go in, unless power of attorney.
Unless there's power of attorney, that's right. The landowner owns the land, owns the base acres, and the payment yields on that land.
So they need to do that. And there'll be some landowners that really are surprised by the fact that they have to do this. They may not be aware at this point.
They're not. There are certainly some, particularly in circumstances where they may not be close to the farm and keep up on absentee landowners. And that's where, you know, you presume the producer is going to be checking in with them and making sure they know and trying to help out. And, of course, as you mentioned, if you've got power of attorney, that'll still be good for these decisions, and that'll allow the producer to make the decision for the land.
That's Jonathan Kappas, Ag Policy Specialist from the University of Illinois. You can find and use the Farm Bill Toolbox to make a decision about the brand new farm programs really easily. Just search Google for Farm Bill Toolbox. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the line now to take up the cash grain market is Ben Pruse. He's at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. Ben, thanks for taking the time. Tell me how conditions are there in your part of the world, please.
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you what, we're experiencing just a little bit of a heat wave. January 24th tomorrow, and it's going to be 45 degrees here in northwest Iowa. We're starting to see a basis that the processors kind of fade here a little bit. They're pulling a ton of corn out of the South Dakota, Minnesota area, so you just don't have rail access. That's keeping basis cheap for us. Ethanol margins, you know, kind of turning towards the negative here a little bit. They're short coverage. The ethanol plants really aren't willing to bid up, and they're fading basis. So we're kind of in a really weird dynamic here for the last 10 days or so.
So kind of opposite of what you were last year. I think you just told me that they're able to move a lot of grain by rail, and that's happening.
Right.
And then your basis has crashed how far?
Our basis, the elevators, really, I mean, we're just starting to see it turn. But, I mean, we're fading probably about a nickel, seems like about every week or so. But we are really interested to see. It's truly a unique dynamic. These end users really aren't willing to pay up, but they continue to call us every day saying that they need some corn. So we're not actually real sure what to make of it here today.
Well, all right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruse. He's with the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's National Rhubarb Pie Day. It's also St. Bernard of Vianney Day, patron of farm workers and field hands. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, the first bridge over the Mississippi River opened in what is now Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 1862, 1,400 varieties of grapevines were brought from Europe and planted in California in the Sonoma Valley. Years later, after blight destroyed much of Europe's vineyards, some of these same vines, now on resistant American rootstock, helped save the European wine industries. In 1932, the El Salvador army killed 4,000 protesting farmers. The farmers were protesting layoffs and wage cutbacks in El Salvador's western coffee region during a depression. In 1961, Wilhelm Koppers died, a Roman Catholic priest and cultural anthropologist. He developed theories on the origins of society based on studies of food-gathering tribes. And in 1998, Pope John Paul II condemned a U.S. embargo against Cuba. The embargo, begun in 1962, was enacted after the Castro government confiscated private property of U.S. citizens and the United Fruit Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media and comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Here now is Ed Kieser with a look at today's agricultural weather forecast from South America.
Weather extremes continued this week, but big changes are about to occur. The driest crop production areas of Brazil remained hot and dry this past week. Scattered thunderstorms in Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul produced mostly below average rainfall amounts. Meanwhile, it was another bone-dry week for most of Goiás, Minas Gerais, and Bahia. Many locations in these states have not had any rain yet this month, and only 2 to 4 inches since mid-December. That's about 10 inches below average. This has had a negative impact on crops, likely reducing first crop corn yields. An approaching cold front is about to end the dry spell. Showers and thunderstorms are expected in all dry areas this weekend and next week. While this will not wipe out recent moisture deficits, the rain will certainly prevent a further decline in crop conditions. While rain is coming to areas that need it, a break is coming to areas that have had too much. Mostly dry weather is expected across Rio Grande do Sul and Santa Catarina in South Brazil through early next week. The break is needed because fields are waterlogged. Many places have received more than 15 inches of rain in the past month, some 10 inches above average. Thunderstorms are expected to return mid to late next week. That will keep South Brazil prone to excessive soil moisture, and a place we'll continue to monitor. In Argentina, cooler than average weather is limiting crop stress. A brief heat wave with high temperatures in the 90s and low 100s will follow Sunday into early next week before a cold front arrives. The heat will not last long enough to cause problems. Of more concern are recent extremes in rainfall. Wet northern and central Argentina did trend drier in recent days, and dry weather is expected to continue into Monday. Then thunderstorms return. Rainfall next week will be highest in northern Argentina, where some fields will once again become excessively wet. Meanwhile, southern Argentina has been rather dry in recent weeks. A few scattered thunderstorms are finally erupting in La Pampa to improve soil moisture. Scattered thunderstorms are also expected at times in southern Argentina next week. But rainfall in those southern areas in the coming week will mostly remain below average.
Our thanks to Ed Kieser for his update of the South American weather forecast. A couple of items of note for next week. We'll be on the road in La Salle the 28th. That's a Wednesday evening at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club at 6:30. We'll talk about crop insurance, the farm bill. Bill Mayer, Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson will be along. That one's sponsored by Strategic Farm Marketing. It's open to everybody. 6:30 in the evening at Seneca's Oak Ridge Golf Club in La Salle, Illinois. That's Wednesday night. On Thursday, we'll be in Sycamore, actually. That's the Center for Agriculture, along with Castle Bank. We'll have Wayne Nelson, Joe Vaklovic, Jackie Vakes, and special guest for that day will be Dan Bossi. So if you're interested, you can come see him. Gary Schnitke will be along, too, for a farm bill discussion. That's all starting around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, actually in Sycamore at the Center for Agriculture. I hope to see you at an event. Check it all out at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.